Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
That's a fight to you, man. You've never been in a fight.
I punched my dad right in the face.
You know, Mike's an active coach.
You don't see Brady smile as much as you've seen him smile this week.
Put me and coach on ready to play.
Tom Brady has groomed a green core, a very inexperienced core.
What a hoodie is.
Hey, man, I'm just an employee here.
I am deeply disappointed in Jay-Z.
Wasn't that the goal that Colin Kaepernick had?
And Marcus Smart has done all that you can expect a guy to do.
I'm not buying the Celtics because I don't believe that they're better with Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home, start exercising.
It was pretty cool. I was like, what's up, Go?
Tom Brady is the system.
We gotta quit talking about feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right. Well, let's not talk about feet.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, my God.
Right now.
I want Mookie gone.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
We opened the show at 2 o'clock, and you announced that you had a million things you want to react to out of the open. You ripped Kingsbury.
Yep.
And you've had no other chance to react to it. New chance to react to the open.
Okay, so that's
OMF.
Here's one that stands out to me this time. This go around.
Yeah,
this
like
circle,
that.
Right? The Vrabel quote about the fight. You know, people look at these NFL fights, and they said they're fighting.
I hate it.
Those fights.
I hate it. I'm not watching football this year.
But that's not fight to you, and you've never been in a fight.
Nope.
So we just don't want any punches thrown.
Yeah, I mean, because I always
I
football
like
fights are the dumbest fights in all of sports.
When they punch,
have you
each
seen
in the
have
helmet
you seen a baseball fight?
Well, yeah.
The purse shoving, the purse shoving, whatever
yeah,
those are.
That is true, but I don't really. I mean, yeah, but. But these are macho men, right? And so they're trying to fight, but they all have all this equipment on and face mask and pads and their wrists are taped and they got pads on their gloves. Nobody's getting hurt. Nobody
well,
gets hurt.
Well, unless the guy that punches the other dude in the helmet.
What do you mean? But they got a helmet on.
Yeah, but I'm punching my bare
hand.
I'm punching you in the
helmet.
Oh,
well, that's the dumb guy that breaks his hand because...
Right.
That's the guy from the Raiders. The first episode of Hard Knocks. He tried to punch out the ball, right, and broke his hand.
But that's different. I'm talking about
that's
an actual
different.
Scrum.
Yeah.
And most of those fights usually... They always, everybody comes in, blah, blah, blah. Okay, somebody rips the other guy's helmet off. He throws it. That guy puts the helmet back on. And the coach says, run it again. And Mike's right. If you think that's a fight... I mean, I can't even... Of all my years playing the league, I don't think I've ever actually seen a football fight that was worth anything.
Did you do any of these training camps where you practice against a team plan thing yesterday? Like the Vrabel and Belichick were happy to see some sort of altercation. Like at some point, hey Mike, let's get the guys a little bit loose. Let's see how they react to it. Curran said it was not a planned thing; that it was spontaneous.
And no,
they really got pissed. AJ Brown locked up with Gilmore. McCourty jumped in and started talking bleep, and all hell broke loose.
No, I think that Bill does not want any skirmishes whatsoever. You even show a hint, that guy gets – I don't care who it is. Edelman's been kicked off the field before. Malcolm Butler's been kicked off the field before. They don't want – they're there to work. They're there to just educate themselves and get better. So the Browns – who are the Browns practicing against? Because they got in this fight because their coach was like basically shaming them for being pushed around the day before. So he tells them, you're not going to – they're practicing
Browns
against the Colts. So he's telling them, listen, you guys are going to take this. We don't let anybody push us around. Well, sure enough, the next day of practice, there's 1,000 fights that break out, and nobody gets any work done because everyone's trying to like – everybody's peeing on certain areas of the field.
So who do you blame there, though? Because I mean, didn't the coach sort of challenge them?
I blame the coach for being an idiot.
That's
you there?
Freddie Kitchen.
That is not the area to sit there and try and get your guys better. Like, you want to work on situations. And I know everyone really has to swallow their pride a little bit Because, you know, if somebody gives you a little something extra after the whistle and you want to give it back to them, well, then they go, huh, what are you doing? I'm just going
to the
whistle.
Well, I'm sure you never had joint practices, but I'm sure there were times when Bill wanted to maybe test somebody or, you know, ask somebody to get it going a little bit. You know, well, not like start a brawl, but push somebody to see how they would react.
No, I don't.
Parcells, we know Parcells did. He talked about it. So you don't think
Parcells would go
would talk to
guys,
a player and he want to get have a player get on another player.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, yes. That's happened. I was asked to do that one time. I said no.
Asked to do what? Like go
start a fight?
Really?
Like legit start a fight? Because I feel like I kind of had to be angry at someone. It was gonna or I would laugh the whole time.
No, but I can envision somebody like say,
can't fake
say
it. Yeah, it's tough to fake.
But say like Vrabel, Brusky, whatever, like a veteran linebacker, you know. Just sort of testing like a young kid or whatever that they feel like maybe it is a tight end who's afraid to block or whatever, soft. And he's like, hey, get after him a little bit. Next time he comes, put him on his ass. See how he reacts.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. That to me is not, hey, let's start a coach thinking that a fight is going to draw some sort of camaraderie with the offense and the defense.
No, and you're looking to see this guy get up, maybe get in a guy like Teddy Bruschi's face, and you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, is he going to back down?
Or is he going
to
be like, sorry.
Is he going to allow himself to get
right.
punked?
Sorry, right. yeah. sorry. So sorry. I can see that stuff.
Sorry, Teddy. Sorry.
But not like, Teddy, go fight someone. You know, Vrabel, go fight someone. But it would be push a guy to see him react, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I just feel they don't want the fights. And again, I don't know what Vrabel's talking about. He's not talking about a football fight. Maybe back in his Ohio State days.
That's a fight.
He was like, you know, sitting there and like, running frat into parties. A frat and like challenging all the frat boys to a fight. Now I can see that happening.
Football team's here.
Yeah.
Move away from the keg. It's our turn.
Where's your cage? Where's the keg? Where's all your women? I'm going to take them both.
Absolute meatballs.
Yeah, so that was that.
All right, so I'm guessing you don't want to see a fight Saturday night, and neither coach wants to see a fight. No. So what is on your 4A500? What do you want?
I'm not going
to
give you a 4A500, but the thing is, we don't have time. I will go through that.
A whole hour, trust me.
I'll tweet one out every minute.
Oh, go for it. Right. Good.
Right. Hitting.
Content.
Don't have it.
Engagement.
Okay, no. So everything went well for them. Every last thing. So defensively, they got a ton of sacks. And I would say looking at that offensive line for the Detroit Lions that only played two series, one in the first series of the first half and the another series in the second half. That's it. Guys got concussions. They still played, so they were missing assignments. They were whiffing on blocks. Then the quarterback got a concussion. Then he got kicked out because he was a second-string quarterback. Then the third-string quarterback is playing. So that defensive line teed off, and guys weren't even being blocked. And they were getting sacked. Jamie Collins got a sack. John Simon got an interception. Winovich, Shalik Calhoun, he got a sack. Everybody got to the quarterback. All right, I think it's going to be a different set of rules. I think this team is going to, obviously, they have film to look at. They're not going to make those mistakes. The offensive line is going to be playing a little bit more. Now what can you do? Can you generate pressure on your own? Are you going to Michael Bennett? We haven't seen Michael Bennett at all yet. Is he going to play? And if he does play, is he Trey Flowers effective where he's just really just solidifying and really consistent, or is he extremely disruptive? Yeah, so that's the area where I'm looking at, because we're a lot of emphasis on this defense. They're getting a lot of attention. Everybody thinks they're going
to
be really good.
So you
want
to see the defense is you want them to continue to prove that they might be real.
Yeah, let's see if what happened last week was just some crazy preseason whack job. Or are they actually really good?
But I'm more curious than the side that I'm not so sure about at all.
Me too.
Right?
Me too.
I mean, it's you know, you talk about the wide receivers that are going to be down. So you're going to see Brady out there for a drive or two. And even when he's not in there, Jacoby Myers, right? And I don't want to steal his much thunder, but Braxton Berrios, another guy.
My guy.
You know, you want to see because, you know, Dorsett's not going to be there. Harry's not going to be there. None of these guys are going to be there. So you're going to see a lot of these guys. This little gunner dude from Bemidji State. You know, so I think it's about still the offensive weapons, but one guy, and I don't even know if he's in there, but I think people are talking about how there's a chance he plays this week, given what they saw during the week, and that's Damian Harris, the running back. I just want to see him run. I remember the first time we saw Deion Lewis run, and it was like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? It was like making everybody miss. I forget who the other running back was that year that everybody was focusing on, and he just kept getting hit and going down. Meanwhile, Deion Lewis is running around. No one can touch him. I just want to see, is this a guy that, like, you know, makes anybody miss? You know, I just want to see who he is. I want to see him on the field.
Well, I mean, just to kind of, you know, play off of that, Brandon Bolden got the majority of the reps in last week's preseason game. I doubt he's going to start.
And the other guy, who's that, whatever that running back's name was, Brissett? I don't even know what the hell his name was.
The kid from LSU.
Yeah, 42.
Brissett.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I want to see Damian Harris. I want to see him run the ball.
Isn't there still a question about why they took a running back so high? Like, we thought they were sort of set at the position with Burkhead and James White and Sony Michel. Boy, they went up and got a guy from Alabama who was the guy who split time. They didn't have a whole lot of carries, but was a very productive player. Almost like, was he drafted as insurance in case Sony Michel's knee does not come back?
Because you heard that like he's maybe more of a power back. So maybe it's like, okay, is he a goal line guy? But you remember when they drafted...
Burkhead is a little goal line.
When they drafted Ridley and James White... Remember how miscast they were, I thought, coming out of the draft? Wasn't James White supposed to be more of a power back at Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, a power team, yeah.
But it was just like, oh, he's a power back. And now you look at him like, really? This guy, at one point, people actually thought he was like a power back coming out of college?
Yeah, who's the guy
he's just a pass catcher.
Who's the back out of
I think it was Ridley was the other one.
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, so he was his teammate at Wisconsin. With Melvin Gordon. Yep. So, yeah, no, I think maybe just because you see Wisconsin, historically, power team, between the tackles, big offensive line. That's going to be your guy.
So that's what I'm saying. Is this Damian Harris like portrayed as a power back, and then you actually see him, like you mentioned one time, LeGarrette Blount, you know, when he first showed up, you were just like, he's like hurdling people, outrunning people, and like making people miss. This guy was supposed to be a goal line guy, right? Like just a big power guy.
Yeah, and what is Sony Michel? Is he a power back? What is he?
The only number
that's a three down back in the league.
He's not a three down back. They don't throw him the ball.
Well, that's one of the things I was looking here, and one of
he
Jeff
did
Howe's
George, he caught the ball.
Number three, Jeff Howe. Talk about the Brady's targets in camp. Now I don't know why I'm supposed to look for it, but he just listed them again. It's game notes. He did notice how Brady throwing to Sony Michel is 13 for 13.
Ooh.
So I don't know if Michel's playing in this thing three or not, but throwing the football can he at least be a threat? To catch two or three passes, right, in a game. Well, how predictable is it when he's in the game? They're just going to run.
Well, it became super predictable last year, right? They had the numbers where it was, I think, 90% of the time he was on the field, it was a running play.
But 13 like, for 13 to him is, that's legit.
Well, but he basically just took LeGarrette Blount's role because if LeGarrette Blount was on the field, it was 90% of the time it was a run. But I will say this, if you want to know what they do with these backs, that wheel route. That they run to the flat, either out of the backfield or out of a hip position. They go to the sideline and they wheel up. Backs that can catch that wheel route are usually keepers. Guys that start dropping it or start having issues with it or can't track it, they don't ever see the ball again. And James White, there was a
Brady
time where
especially.
He couldn't catch it. He couldn't catch it. He was dropping it all the time. Suddenly, it's like his second nature to him. All right, so who you got?
You know who I got.
Well, I have no idea who you have.
It's Berrios, but I won't, as Lou said. The reason why it's Berrios is because he's on the – I think Jacoby Myers has already essentially made the team. Okay, he's been so good on the outside. He will make it as undrafted guy. Berrios is still a question mark. Now, he had a good punt return game. Obviously showed flashes there.
I thought he was good in that last
game. But
if
he's a repeater
– I thought he popped.
Yeah, I did too. And I think with Brady –
Mayock.
I think they unleash Berrios on Saturday night. I think he has four or five catches, middle of the field, looks just like Edelman. And if he does, he's got a good chance to make the team. If he struggles, he might be one of the last guys cut because they realize we have Edelman, we have other receivers, we need to keep an extra tight end because our tight ends suck. And I think he might be a threat to not make the roster this year. So I need to see him have a good game. But if you're going to mention one other player, if I'm not going to – you talk about wide receivers, Lou – It's Stidham. I'm looking from Jeff Howe's notes here. Number six.
Ooh,
Jarrett Stidham had a very good summer, and I mentioned it before. His rookie offseason is superior to Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014. So what Howe is coming out and trying to say without saying it is I think that Jarrett Stidham is going to be a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. He struggled this week. Listen to Curran on Quick Slants. He had a tough week. He got rushed. He never really had a lot of time in the pocket. He said that maybe it was about the other guys around him against that Titans second unit. But he didn't look good. He looked so good in week one. We spent a couple days last week wondering, last Friday, Keith and I did, is Stidham the next quarterback? Does he take another step here? Or is it a dose of reality for that, okay, nice first game, but Brian Hoyer looked good against Detroit too. How do you look against Mike Vrabel, who you guys seem to think he might be game planning for Stidham to help his boy Brady? That he might want to throw the kitchen sink at Stidham to give Brady a little plus one.
If Vrabel was really smart,
okay,
he wouldn't throw anything at Stidham.
Why?
And he'd make him look great. then build
him up.
Oh,
build him up.
Oh, so Bill then commits to Studham.
You want
to
build him up. You want to make him look even better than maybe he is. So, you know, maybe Bill's like a little twinkle in his eye. Like, maybe this is my guy.
Yeah, the other guy that I really wanted to see that, but, you know, Philip Dorsett is not playing. Right?
He got hurt in the first practice week, right, on Tuesday?
Yeah. There's a guy, when you start looking at all these young guys that are getting a bunch of attention, Philip Dorsett, I think people forget about him, and I feel like he's extremely important. I mean, and I heard...
neither, but real quick, Dorsett, left thumb, Maurice Harris, you know, whatever, they don't know, but he got banged up. I don't know what it was. They both left practice Wednesday, and they didn't participate Thursday at all.
No, they're not playing.
So, and Curran mentioned this. So, Philip Dorsett, first-round pick. N'Keal Harry, first-round pick. Demaryius Thomas, first-round pick. You have three.
Julian Edelman.
Well, yeah, he also mentioned, but
elite,
MVP.
Elite star, yeah.
MVP. But you have four guys, and three of them, first-round picks in the NFL. So, what's your excuse? Can you have an excuse? Philip Dorsett needs to take that next step. He can't just be a third option, you know, one big catch a game. He needs to be a first-down option, move the chains option.
Well, okay, Dorsett, yeah, but it doesn't mean he's any good. He's had plenty of time in this league. He's shown maybe he's not as good as the hype when he was drafted. And Demaryius Thomas, maybe, but he's just barely starting to run full speed on the sideline. He's hurt.
My point is that you can't sit there and say they don't have any talent.
They don't have any talent.
N'Keal Harry, first-round pick. Philip Dorsett, first-round pick. Demaryius Thomas, first-round pick.
Okay.
Julian Edelman, MVP of the Super Bowl. I mean, play along with me. I mean, if you drew that up.
How about the tight ends?
I don't know. Dominic Easley.
I tell you, they have the biggest gaping hole in the NFL
Wasn't Dominic Easley a first-round pick?
He was a first-round
pick. So he's good. Oh, wait. Actually, he was cut.
I don't think he's even in the league.
You got to set for a backup quarterback. I mean, you can at some point, you got to take where they were taken out of the equation and say, how productive have they been?
Yeah,
I get your point.
Somebody evaluated them as a first-round pick. And I would say Philip Dorsett.
EJ Manuel was a first-round pick.
Philip Dorsett came close to looking like Danny Amendola during the playoffs the last couple of years. Came close. He didn't have nearly the volume.
I came close to playing in the NBA.
He came close. He didn't have nearly the amount of catches of importance. But every single game, he had one catch. Go back and look at it. Every time they threw him the ball,
he caught everything they threw him.
Every single, and it was always a moving the chains. We need to have a big play, but that was it. So he used up his one poker chip, and then you never saw him again. You need three or four or five of those a game from Philip Dorsett.
Has he shown in his career he can do that? The answer is no.
I would say, hold on, Mutt. Okay, Mr. Negative Nelly. What he has shown that he can make the catch. So what's the problem? If he's making that one catch every single game in an important game, why can't he make three? Does it have to be the perfect situation? Because he catches everything.
He's not consistent. That's why he was given up for a backup quarterback.
He catches everything. He does. He's got a lot of speed. He makes the big. It must be a route transition. Yes. He must not be able to run
routes. Consistency in routes, which Brady hates.
So you can give him go routes. You can give him angle routes, and he'll go up and catch the ball. But he just can't get open on his own.
The guy we should mention here, we can take your calls on what you're looking for tomorrow night, 617-779-7937.
Boots and Dukes.
We should, absolutely. God, Boots,
that's me.
Tremendous. I'd also point out, we should talk about Brady. We're going to get our first action of Tom Brady. And as you said, Brady with the backups. Reading from Tommy Curran's story. It's a reality that working with unproven receivers and a thrown-together solution at tight end is not a recipe for Brady to put together the kind of statistical season that will make the Patriots rush back to the bargaining table and re-up with him at the going rate for the game's best quarterback. But Brady remains SpongeBob in shoulder pads, delighted to get to work early, ready to earn this month's golden spatula. And so he's pointing out that the group of guys he's going to work with tomorrow night, Barrio, these guys are all the also-rans. Does Brady show any frustration with these guys, or does he realize, like he didn't practice, I can't get on him because these guys are playing because my ones can't stay on the field, and I better just work with these guys and not really degrade them because I might need them at some point this year if Harry has a calf all season, if Dorsett's in and out, Edelman, if the thumb lingers or he gets hurt again going over the middle. I'm going to have to work with these guys. How does Brady handle this group? I'll look forward to that tomorrow, too.
I see this being a three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. First down run.
Well, Brady keeps playing, then, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on how far, how many plays they want to cap him out in, or you know, just you know, when's the second half come around? Because they may say, listen, you got to get 15 Ooh. Plays. Well, you've only had three series. You're in and out, and they're hogging the ball, and they just use 9 minutes of the clock. Well, here comes the second quarter. Okay, three and out. Okay, three and out.
So do you expect
nine
him
plays?
All right. So do you expect like Hoyer to finish the first half and Stidham get the whole second, or does Stidham? Because I would rather see Stidham get the whole half, not just like the fourth quarter.
Same.
And like Hoyer finish the half, come out, do the third, and then Stidham gets the fourth. I'm good with Brian Hoyer. As good as he looked last week, I'm good with him.
Stidham is going to get the entire fourth preseason game. He's going to get the entire thing.
All right, so he probably doesn't play week three.
As much as you don't want to see Hoyer, he is a second-string quarterback, and he still got to prove himself because he had an unbelievable game last week. How does he look
this
week?
Is that a competition? I brought this up last night. The Philadelphia Eagles have lost not one but two backup quarterbacks. And so there's some speculation from Schefter and others that – well, he is. A good point by you. They might be out in the market for a quarterback, and Brian Hoyer comes up because Stidham looks so good. This is going to sound stupid. I would not trade Brian Hoyer unless I really, really, really got overwhelmed with the draft pick. Because if they lose Brady, let's say, for four or five games, the better chance to win three of those four of those five this year is Brian Hoyer, right? Not Jared Stidham?
Yes.
And
yes,
so I'm keeping all three quarterbacks. It sounds dumb. I'm keeping all three.
I don't see if let's just assume that they both play like they did in last week's preseason game.
Both look good.
I don't care how good Stidham looked. I still am not comfortable with him.
All right, real quick. Hoyer for Ertz. Who says no?
Done.
Well, I'm
done.
Just, okay, I'm just saying.
Done. Yeah, I don't love
like
him
I
that
said,
much.
Overwhelmed.
I don't love him that much.
Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed.
I mean, how quickly can I say yes? Dunsky.
Well, it's
first round pick, second round pick, Ertz.
I'm not. Yeah, I agree with both you guys. I mean, I would love to. Maybe if this was next year, you know, and you see more of Stidham here. But after one game, he looked good. I thought looked comfortable. But it's just it's more about like an NFL game and having a veteran quarterback. As much as I don't think Brian Hoyer is great at all. I don't know how far he can throw the ball, but he can get you in and out of the huddle. Can he? I mean, he can get you in that huddle maybe better in an NFL game. You won't have like a you don't worry about maybe like a Peterman moment where like five interceptions in the first quarter.
He did throw six in a playoff game.
Well, you know, it could happen. But I'm just saying you would feel better right now. Next year,
yes,
next year I don't even know if Hoyer will be here.
I don't even think people this guy was a starter in the league. I mean, he actually was a starting quarterback in the NFL. Stidham has been in two different programs, two different systems, had really one really good year for Auburn, and then his last year, he sucked. And
well, maybe that's
because of his offensive line and, you know, didn't have any talent, but whatever. The fact is that he's got a very short resume. And I feel like, again, this is the whole Wiggy situation where, yeah, Jerod Mayo's going to be a head coach in 2 years. No, Jared Stidham's not going to be your quarterback. He's not going to be your backup quarterback. When's the last time? Because usually the process usually goes like this. Patriots draft a quarterback, and that quarterback sits behind another veteran
Ryan Mallett.
Or the last quarterback that they drafted. And it just, the progression keeps going and going and going. That guy's on his third year. Here comes the other guy to keep him both, and they get rid of him.
Yeah.
And then you go. Then you get Brissett. You know, it's just what
and
they
And then you
do.
Get rid of both of them in the same year.
Yeah, and then you bring back Hoyer. And then you sit and you grab Kenny
Allen. Says, trade Garoppolo because I'm sticking to Tom Brady. Meanwhile, Tommy Curran suggests that the guy starting on Saturday night, Tom Brady, could end up staying in that city, Tennessee, next year. Could he be a Titan, Tommy Curran?
Could he be a Titan?
Could he be a Titan, Tommy Curran?
Tommy.
Come on, Tom.
You didn't give him a lot of warning.
Three, just two,
Tom.
Brady actually leaving, I'd say the chance of that happening is 10%. But if Brady does eventually take free agent visits, I would put the likelihood of him visiting Tennessee probably at 70 or 80. I mean,
has to.
It's a good team in the AFC with a head coach and general manager who he's familiar with. And the more you watch him interact with Vrabel and Vrabel's wife, Jen, for instance, after practice, those are the people he grew up with. Those are the people who, you know, he had a kinship with. They're almost the same age. Vrabel just turned 44. Brady's 42. They're a year apart. They both played in the Big Ten. These are friends.
Lou, have you ever been in a position where maybe your friend managed a team, Major League Baseball?
Well, this reminds me, and I'm sure a lot of folks out there in this Boston area, of the time when I, you know, Eric Wedge brought me over to Cincinnati.
Cleveland. The whole city's talking
about
it.
When I was with the Indians in 04. You know, we were good friends, had a relationship beforehand, done a lot of winter baseball camps together, actually lived at his house when I played for the Red Sox for a while. We were good buddies, and he brought me over. This is like Vrabel Brady. I'm sure if it happens, a lot of people will go back and they'll
say, you know, this reminds me of the little Wedge and Maloney.
Yeah, I think so.
I know people want to.
I don't think that there's a good chance that Tom leaves. You know, he says 10%, maybe 5%, whatever it is. But if he did, there's no question that Tennessee would be a possibility. I think there's no question that I think San Fran could be a possibility. If they look at Jimmy G and they're like, Shanahan's like, yeah, come on over. A couple years. Tennessee, same thing. Little chance he leaves, but if he does, I think Tom's right. Of course, Tennessee would be a place he goes and checks out.
There is a part of me that, and you, I think it was you mentioned this, like, is there any part of Brady when him and Giselle laying in bed, you know, just, you know, looking at the mirror above their bed and, like, telling stories about all the good old days, and they say, you know, it would be kind of neat to play in Tennessee. Just, you know what, it's our last go-round. You know, you're always going to be a Patriot.
I
you're
love
gonna
Mike.
Wear a red jacket.
Mike's so good. Mike's
He's
a
so
great
funny.
Guy. We see him.
That mustache is so sexy. You know what, let's just try it. I do think there's a part of him that wonders what it would be like, even if it wasn't variable, just what it's like on the other side of the fence. Like, is the grass potentially just as green on the other side of the fence?
It's a great point. His wife's been doing that her whole life.
Yeah, so she's been traveling. It's no big deal for her. She's like, you know, stop being so sentimental. Stop allowing yourself to be so attached.
If he wants to play for Vrabel, it's going to be in Tennessee and not here. And this, I know you made a big push. I heard the promo a couple times. For Vrabel out of the system, he could be a guy the Patriots would hire as the next coach. We forget that on the way out the door, what maybe got him traded was Vrabel taking a shot at ownership here. Mike Vrabel asked, well, how do you think they built Patriot Place? And suggested that the team made a lot of money. There was the back and forth, Players Association, owners. A couple weeks later, he's part of a package deal with Castle to Kansas City. I think that's going to keep him forever coaching here. So if he wants to coach with his buddy, it's going to be in Tennessee. And so he'd have to do it that way. And they'll have the money to do it. They can move on from Mariota. They've got talent on offense. They can let him do what he wants to do. Assuming that Brady is okay with living in Nashville, it would all sort of line up as the spot, even more so than San Francisco in my mind.
There's probably a country singer out there whose house he can rent. Like Miley Cyrus lives up. Tim McGraw has a house out there.
They all do.
I mean, so he just find one of those honky-tonk good old boys and say, America!
Put up a TV-12 right down there in Nashville. You can have, you know, convince Giselle, walk around like cowboy boots.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, I think it'd be in.
Why not?
No, I think it'd be. I think it would be. And again, I go to San Francisco. You know, I mean, you got Shanahan out there saying, you know, what life was like last year without Gronk? We got this guy Kittle. Yeah, I like this guy Kittle.
Oh, we got this guy Delanie Walker over here in Tennessee.
I'll add to the conspiracy theory. What if Gronk is already planning to come back? Because we agree he's not playing this year. And Gronk has said to Tom, you go somewhere else. I'll come play with you.
Ooh.
Only if
I don't
want to
play for Bill again. I don't want to play for Bill.
Gronk would like Nashville.
He would love Gronkville. It'd be Gronkville. It'd be unbelievable. And it's called Smashville. Yeah. That place is built for Gronkowski. So the one other.
A lot of bachelorette parties.
Addition to this, one other conspiracy theory or prediction I'll make. We're going to read in the next couple of weeks that the Kraft Brady contract negotiation has picked back up. I think this little flirtation with Tennessee is going to get Jonathan and Bob back to the table with Don Yee and say, Don, how can we get this done? Lou said it off the air. Imagine the Tom Brady free agency tour. Forget if he signs anywhere else or not.
I got to be honest with you.
But if he's taking visits?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they can.
Can what?
They can. They definitely can.
What?
Can they? What do you mean? Just renegotiate?
Reported everywhere that he can sign a deal before the end of the league year.
Oh, right.
They can agree in principle. I don't think they can
officially
sign.
Well, I know he's a free agent at the end of the year. Yes. It's just that, you know, I know all that discussion is you can't renegotiate till a year. Obviously, you can't because the season's going to be over by then. But they did give him new money, and I was just wondering if that played a role in it. We just gave you a new deal.
The reporting I saw said they can redo the deal really at any time up to the league year. Correct? Tyler's saying yes. I don't know if he's right or not, but he gave me a thumbs
up. Once the season's over or during the season? That's the question I would have.
Well, do you think it's out of the realm that they do a handshake deal?
No,
and
they
say,
could do that.
Okay, we'll do that and announce it and
I tell you what,
whisper
though,
it out that they're in good terms?
You mentioned you had a good point because the best thing for Brady as far as his negotiating power and his leverage is his relationship with Mike. Because I remember even when I left here and I went to a free agent trip to Washington, and at the same time, Eric Mangini became the head coach for the New York Jets. And I played that up so much that I wanted to play with Mangini, and, like, you know, he was calling me. He never
publicly
did.
Or privately?
Like, during negotiation with the coaches, we were having this thing, and I played it up that there was a real, you know, relationship there, and there was a bond that, you know, that was really important to me. So it was going to really, in order for me to break that bond, it was gonna cost a little bit more. And I didn't talk to Mangini, but I played it up that, you know, and it worked. So Brady and Vrabel, even if he never even uses it, even if he never talks to Vrabel, like, he can still use that card.
Yes, yeah, I
tried
that.
Everybody knows that's part of it.
I tried that in 04 with the whole wedgie thing in Cleveland, and the Red Sox said, uh-oh, good luck. Good luck in Cleveland. enjoy the Jake. Yeah. I was like, all right.
Well, do we have the smiley cut? Anderson, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but talking about the flirtation and without having to say it out loud, I mean, listen to Curran talk about Brady's outward spirit, to steal the Gronk word.
Oh, it's not ready.
That was from the
Greg Hill show.
Yeah, the Greg Hill show.
Right, yes. Where he talked about his heart light.
Yeah.
Turn on outward your heart spirit. Light. It's Neil Diamond song. They should play that tonight. Neil Diamond, Heart Light, was from the movie E.T.
So no, they'll just, you know, Sweet Caroline. It's all right. Hopefully the eighth goes well.
Orioles 9-1.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
We will hear from Tommy.
Orioles 9-1.
Orioles 9-1. Let me ask you.
My
squirrel moment.
Oh, my God.
Is how many nails can we put in this coffin? Because we put nails in the coffin after the 8-game losing streak. We put nails in the coffin with the Anaheim Angels. Do we put more nails in the coffin this weekend?
All of them.
If they drop two out of three, we close
up shop.
Just in case it's you know, you think the, you know, you think they're a vampire, you get a wooden stake and you put it right through their heart, a silver bullet, and make sure they're dead. That is, if that happens.
Boy, Porcello's on the mound. Don't worry about it. I mean, you put up zeros.
What an adventure.
Well, the Red Sox are treating this like a playoff game. I can give you an example of that. And we should give Dave Dombrowski credit
for
sometimes the best trades you make are the ones that you don't make. Hold on. Do I have that right?
No, yes. It's not good.
Yeah, it's good.
Own
it's
it. Right.
Yes, yes.
And we found out, thanks to John Tomasi, that Dave Dombrowski's a genius.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
When it comes to trading for Chris Sale. This hour of OMF is brought to you by our friends at 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, their summer clearance event. Stop in today for your new 2019 Ram 1500 truck. All that and your calls next on OMF.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Take a phone.
No, just go. Just start answering the phone. Call him. Talk to Christian right now. He's sitting there.
Yo, hello.
What's the number? 617-779?
Hello there. This is LeVar Ball you're talking to live. And it was
Sports Radio WEEI.
Look, you're really getting a look at Brady with a contemporary there. And he's just so at home with it. And he's so happy to be involved with a guy that he's got that shared history with. You're really realizing that, God damn, he's 42. Even though we say it all the time, to see the interactions, you realize you don't see Brady smile as much as you've seen him smile this week, generally.
That's exactly what I was going to say was you almost see a different side of Brady when he's around somebody like Vrabel.
Oh, flirting. Man. The open flirting is going to get him fat contract off from the Crafts before the preseason's even over. Excellent job.
Break them up.
On the market. Guerrero house on the market. Flirt with Vrabel. Take this deal where you can't franchise tag. Brady is playing this perfectly right now to get a
good
monster
movie.
2-year deal.
Well, is it that obvious that they should that they're that much in love, those two? Vrabel and Brady? Is it a
yes?
Here?
Of course it is. Okay, someone just delivered a really nice bottle of scotch to Christian Fourier.
And where's mine?
What the hell is going on? Where's mine? Wow. Filling in for Glenn?
I know what that. Who gave that? Oh, I know who. That was
a salesperson.
Don't worry about it. Be drinking that tonight.
No, you'll be watching the website. Yeah, let's go get some glasses out.
No wonder. I like it.
That's the double wood.
See Lou eyeballing this?
Well, Tyler started bringing it over and stopped it in front of you. And I'm like, no. Keep bringing it over here.
Nice.
A little single malt.
That is the good stuff. That is what Brady will be drinking when he gets his new deal for the Patriots.
He doesn't
That's
drink.
What it's setting up right now.
If he was going to drink, you think he's a beer guy?
Beers.
Yeah, if everybody can chug beers.
Although I'm not sure the one he did on late night TV was a real beer.
Martini.
No. You think he's a martini?
Chug. Yeah.
He's turned into calories. A martini.
You know what? It's going to have to be
something
with.
He used to be a Bud Light guy.
It can't be anything
with. White Claw. He's a big White Claw summer.
Is there any like? It can't be anything that
Mojito?
Would, any filler. It can't be like you know any of the simple syrups that they put in all these drinks. It has to be no fillers.
Tequila,
pure.
Soda water, lime.
That's it.
That's a good one.
Which I could go with that. We should break this in. Want a little sip of this?
No, not.
You don't know pop this open?
Yep.
I forgot. I can't ask.
Go get some.
That's the wrong person.
Go get some.
Are you driving home?
Yeah, that's why I'm not having any. Go get some of Dale. Spice up his broadcast.
Let's hit your lips.
It's so good.
I wish we could do
go up there in the sixth inning and mutt up the bar like I couldn't leave.
We should do a drunk broadcast.
We always talked about that.
We've done, but
at least a drunk podcast.
We've got these events. We've all. What was the event we did?
Solid Buzz podcast.
I would be the worst one. I can tell you right now, hands down.
I got to ask
I would
you,
be
Steve.
The worst out of
I'm
all
not
of
as this confident as you are. They're the best team in the American League.
Allegedly,
I have a lot of respect for
it sounds like.
I know I would be the worst.
Well, I think what it would do for you, Christian, is it would amplify your
silliness.
It would squirrel moments.
He would be silly.
I think he does a very good job.
He'd be silly. I would swear my ass off. Yeah. And he'd be silly.
It would accentuate your, because you swear so much off the air. Yeah. On the air, it's kind of weird to listen to you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I think the squirrel moments would be out of control.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think it accentuates. So if you're like, if that's what you're thinking,
if you
like
swear and you're angry,
upset, like, yeah, that's going to be you. I'm going to be running around with my shirt off. You
woo,
know,
squirrel,
like,
squirrel,
hey,
squirrel.
Let's go party. Like running down the street saying, who wants to go streaking?
Meanwhile, we're missing the big point. The guy we need to do this with is Ordway. Forget you've
he's
heard me.
He's such a
it.
Baby, he won't
go,
do it.
Why?
I've asked him.
What? Why?
He's so serious, Mutt. He's got a career to think about. He's got
what
you know,
career?
He has a legacy.
Is winding down.
He has a legacy he's thinking of.
His career at the retirement home. He's ready to put him out the pat. Look, what are we talking about here?
It would accentuate who he is. So he'd be talking even more about, you know, we got the wrong microphones. I've been telling Hannah for years. We got to get some billboards.
Can you
these
imagine
remotes
him
don't sound as good
drunk.
As the other stations?
He would literally
you know
be telling you everything
well,
that everyone was doing wrong. He would.
Homies.
I got a call from Zola. He was telling me.
I talked
to him.
And Kelly had called me again today. And Holly, we're best friends. I never talked to that Salt character. He don't call me back.
Yeah.
Jerry's worried.
If it accentuates, that's all it would be.
We can do that at some point. We should have done this. I'm doing you for summer. There are all these ideas we have. Like, there's this great idea that someone has had at the station. I'm not going on a slow day, but in the summer, it's a different speed. On a summer Friday, you switch up all the shows.
Just that's an April 1st, April Fool's thing that Joey tried to do a while ago.
That's a good idea.
But I think they actually did some sort of research on it, and they realized that it doesn't help at all.
Really?
it wasn't a good idea.
A bunch of stuff that
actually
help
hurt.
Or not help.
Like if you left the morning show to go to the afternoon show. I like what we did years ago, or even for... when we kind of just one day, right, it was like for like an hour, everybody came back and we kind of mixed them up for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
That was last time Holly and Minahan went at it.
Yes, that one was fun.
I did the morning show once. I thought that was fun. It's a nice little change.
No, we did
done
the morning
by 10
show.
O'clock. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you
guys froze. I got home at like 11.
Ordway
I was like,
froze.
Wow.
Ordway froze.
Oh, yeah. He was awful.
It was weird.
It was his big moment, too.
Yeah, and he froze. He was that guy that goes up on stage and wets himself because he can't.
I'll never forget the first hour. But you and I just looked at him like, what's wrong with you?
I was like, are you sick?
He was like rattled.
And then he was
going to break.
Doesn't he claim he had that was one of his kidney stone episodes?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
He said he would, but it's a total lie.
Does anyone believe? Oh, you don't believe
him. I hadn't gone to the bathroom in 3 days because it hurt so much.
But I get these kidney stones. I don't know what it is.
The next day, he went back on the air. He's like, it passed. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, the very next day, I feel so much better.
Because I'm back in the mid. I'm back in my usual spot.
He was a weird dude that day. I was like, who are you? What is wrong with you?
I remember,
So you don't think letting the audience draft their lineup for one day would be cool. Like, so everyone votes on it. Like, you put it online.
Okay,
and
I'm down.
And the audience, so doesn't that get interaction?
I like it.
I am down randomly for whatever. I am down for whatever. Okay. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, just gotta call me up and give me what the alternative.
I'll try anything once.
W.
Anything once.
DFW.
You should try.
I can see a midday host of Fourier and Danielle.
Oh, sign me up. And Dale.
And what does that sound? Why me and Danielle? Why do I got to be with the girl?
Because you guys like could just, talk about like chickens and
chickens. What do you mean?
Chickens? Well, they were yapping about chickens today for a while.
Did she
stores.
Raise chickens?
No. I like this. It was actually kind of funny. Her talking about like what it means when like a guy doesn't text you back or the girl texts you back. A couple of days ago, they had a discussion.
What does that mean? Discussion.
Well, it means they found someone else.
Oh, I thought they were just trying to. What if they're just trying to be cool?
Well, they want to get back with you. They figured that the guy that they ghosted. Were with you they don't ghosted. Like anymore. So now they want to get back to you.
Yeah, I couldn't be in the dating world at this point in time in my life. There's no way in the world that I could ever re-enter the dating world with the apps, the new, I guess, rules that exist. Couldn't do it. I'd be like, I think it would drive me nuts.
It's you're okay. This
can I ask permission?
Do this
I,
is a lot. I it's a lot easier now. It's a lot easier. No, it's easier for you anyway.
Think
you,
it's
both, you guys are professional
easier.
Athletes.
We're not professional athletes.
Is,
we would both be
this
divorced with children.
You guys are shooting, fish with a shotgun. You guys played professional
in
sports
the old days
for two teams that were very popular. Days. You guys showed up at a bar, said, "I play for the Red Sox or Patriots."
But these days, everybody's an athlete. It's called Tinder.
That's what I mean. Well, now it's the level. It's a level playing field now. Because you can sort through normally.
Maybe we didn't like the level playing field.
Well, then. See, so I would actually like
See,
these play days. You wouldn't.
But you would have done right. well with me. But you would have done well with me. I always needed like a real goofy, you know, wingman.
You want?
Because
you know,
there's
pick
always
up
a grenade.
Is there leftovers? I
have you ever
leftovers.
Seen a really beautiful woman with another beautiful woman?
No.
They're usually,
in fact, no, they don't come
beautiful
in pairs.
To
no.
not so hot.
Yeah.
Because it's like
or
it's
tall
a weird...
woman with a short one.
Yes, so there's always one for everybody.
Is there? I won't say the. I know the phrase I'm thinking of. It's probably not proper for the radio, but I will take that bullet.
So she's a real large woman.
That would be a grenade.
Yes, that's.
Why can't you say that?
I don't know. I don't know what you can and cannot say anymore. Although Danielle was talking about sex chair, so that's why you'd be good with her. Because of good sex chair conversation.
Wait, what do you mean chair? A sex? That's interesting. Like, how does it work?
I don't know. I
you
just
have
start,
sex
I turn
with
the
chair.
Maybe the greatest looking elderly woman I've ever met. In
this is what a perfect time Ordway for Ordway out of context.
Glenn, although if in a perfect world, God, somebody out there, one of you young kids on Twitter, create your profile, but use Glenn as your picture and see how Glenn does on Tinder.
But there is a market for
I
that.
Invented radio.
There is a market for that. He's like a little bear.
That's a different market.
Into the butt crack area.
True.
That's a different
right, I'm
market.
I'm mixing them up. That would be good, though.
All right, we got to take a break.
Yeah,
we're going to come back.
I have sex in there.
We are going to have last
we're
call.
We're going to do a couple
call.
Things.
What well, we got?
I want to a proper send off to Mike Lynch.
Yes.
Mike Lynch is going to retire. You guys worked with Mike Lynch. As a viewer, especially where I live, Mike Lynch was a very important part
it's of
my
end of an era.
High school days. So I want to talk about that. That's what I want to do in last call. What do you guys want to do?
I want to Ice Cube.
Anything?
Well, Ice Cube.
Anything.
No, Ice Cube is responded to the whole Jay-Z getting all this criticism.
Oh,
and again, he really doesn't get what all the fuss is about.
Yeah,
and this
I think
is
that's
rapper
good.
Supporting rapper.
Mm. Okay, good. We got last call coming up next. Yep. OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Once again, it's Glenn, Lou, and Christian. Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
And I'm thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier.
And Last Call is brought to you by our friends at Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. We talked to Alex Cora the first hour very early today. We talked about his team being in playoff mode. Tonight appears to be another step towards that. So they list the roster in the one page for the announcers. And in the bullpen, Chris Sale's name is listed. He's available out of the bullpen tonight, which suggests he could skip his side session and pitch tonight in the game to help them get a couple outs.
Well, he's not supposed to pitch till Tuesday. So, yeah, I'm just surprised it's even in there, though. You know what I mean? Like, that he's available out of the bullpen. And you just keep his name off of that. Like, again, when the lineups come out, they have that one sheet. Yep. You know, this is the guys on the bench. These are the guys in the bullpen. You know,
here's the rotation.
Does he? Yeah, does he need to be listed as a bullpen guy? Alex could still use him. Right?
Is that a way to show the urgency, to publicly show, hey, look, we're going for this thing right now?
I don't know. Maybe not.
In a tough spot. We're chasing wins.
But he could.
No. Securing them. Well, yeah. We're not chasing anything. We are securing them.
It is crazy to do it. Like, in October, that's one thing, but in August, we got
August
a guy
16th.
That's starting to throw the ball.
Think outside the box, man, if you want to make a comeback.
But Sale's starting to throw the ball well. It's like, now we're going to disrupt it, and whatever. We'll see.
All right, so let's do some basketball here, part of Last Call. Daryl Morey of the Rockets says, it's a fact. James Harden, a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
If you looked at data at the time, once he had the ball in his hands, and it's still true to this day, and I get a lot of because someone asked me who's a better scorer, him or Michael Jordan, and it's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
Based on literally, you give
James Harden the ball, and before you're giving up the ball, how many points do you generate, which is how you should measure offense. James Harden is by far number one in NBA history, and he was number one even at the Oklahoma City Thunder. But just he was coming off the bench. It was a little more hidden. So you needed good data to sort of suss that out. So we knew he had that amazing skill to be a scorer.
Yeah, people probably aren't going to like you saying that.
No, people hate it. Now, the counter argument is reasonable. They say if you put Michael Jordan on a team now, he would do more than James Harden.
Yes.
That's possible.
No,
but if you're just saying, like, NBA history, how much, if you give this guy the ball, how much does his team score after you give him the ball before the other team gets the ball? It's James Harden. And I know that makes people mad.
They have a word for that.
I love the analytics.
They have a word for that.
Go ahead.
It's called the ball hog stat.
Yes. Well, I like the advanced stuff. It makes sense. It's changed all the sports. OPS Plus earlier when like Rafael Devers. That's too into the weeds. Like, Jordan in the game now, yeah. Michael Jordan be a better scorer than James Harden.
Yeah, I'm not going to lose my mind over. I mean, I don't know. I mean, James Harden's a great scorer. I don't think he's saying that he's the better player than Michael Jordan.
He's saying
a James
better scorer
than
Jordan. Score.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the numbers will support anything. You got the right numbers, right?
Yes.
So, whatever. It's a different game now. They're chucking up threes left and right. James Harden.
I love how it's like, yeah, okay, the argument is on the other side. Yeah, if Jordan played it today, it's possible that he, but it's not, shut up. Or it's possible. Why do you have to say possible? Why can't you say, well, of course.
I'm sure he'd be great.
Just, I'm sure he'd be awesome.
It's like Larry Bird, who averaged like 1 3-point shot attempt a game. Now, where the game is now, what do you think he'd be doing
that,
for 3-point
I hate the way like the analytics work.
Well, think of the offense
Harden
Jordan was
played in the 80s. What does he look like?
Jordan played in the triangle offense. Phil Jackson, moving guys around, running the shot clock down. Harden's offense now is getting the ball, dribble, 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 and shoot a shot. Mm-hmm. Like, it's completely different.
3-point shots change everything.
In the NFL, you guys spent some time with this yesterday talking about the league and talking about this 2021 potential work stoppage. Well, Ice Cube is jumping in because that wasn't work stoppage, but Jay-Z is involved at the new halftime. The league tries
to
use these players. So the partnership.
Rock Nation.
Now Rock Nation's involved. They're going to run the halftime show. And Ice Cube sounds like he's on Jay-Z's side like I am. Let's hear from Ice Cube.
I think it's good. I think he can definitely help
the NFL make the right decisions when it comes to, you know, whatever they want to do in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand where the controversy is coming from. You know, you bring something up, you bring something to the light, and the company absorbs that and then makes a change.
Right.
And so, and it's cool because they actually, the case is over and they don't really have to make this change. They don't even have to even do this because, you know, the grievance with Kaepernick has been settled. And so by them going the extra mile and doing this with Jay-Z, it shows that there is some sincerity on their part on changing the narrative and doing better things. So, you know, that's really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that, you know, because that was one thing we talked about yesterday briefly too, was the NFL kind of in this no-win situation, right? If they didn't reach out, you know, to Jay-Z and try to form a partnership, try to do good things, it would be, why hasn't the NFL reached out to a African-American who's influenced in the community, right? And they have. So now they're trying to do good things. We'll see what happens.
Well, Jay-Z's taking crap for this. Reamer was talking about last night, or Reamer thinks that, you know, Jay-Z should have fought more for Kaepernick. Mike Freeman, I got this Mike Freeman story. Mike Freeman thinks that the league should have given Kaepernick $50 million to spend once a year for 5 years and let him come back to the league. Like, it's not about Kaepernick anymore. Why can't they move forward and say it's not about that?
Yeah, he also wants an apology. He wants the league to apologize to Colin Kaepernick.
He wants Goodell to apologize. He said they give him $50 million a year to let him do whatever he wants.
And a free path to come back to the league.
Yeah,
right?
For social injustice.
He'd probably give some to Cuba.
And they would give him $50 million for 5 years, and then they should allow him back in the league.
Just, that's ridiculous.
So here's the thing. Whatever you want.
Separate the two. You know who has a hard time separating the two? This guy, Chris, you know Sean King?
Yeah.
Or Sean King's work.
Sean
King is mad at Jay-Z for not getting Kaepernick involved.
Now, I told you that I was just going to say how I really feel about this new deal that Jay-Z has made with the NFL. And listen, but I am deeply disappointed in Jay-Z. I'm deeply disappointed that he formed this partnership with the NFL. I'm deeply disappointed to learn that he has been privately negotiating this partnership for over a year without ever mentioning a word of it to Colin Kaepernick, even though they spoke countless times. I think it's incredibly telling that all of these times that Jay-Z and Colin Kaepernick have talked, that he never mentioned that he's negotiating a partnership with the NFL. I think he didn't mention it because he knew what the response would be.
See, this is unbelievable. These guys want Kaepernick. I'll let you like Sean. You want
to
react?
Well, I don't need to. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I think there is some truth to that, though. I mean,
if it's true.
Well, yeah, if it's true. But if Jay-Z, because he's very supportive of Kaepernick, very, you know, against the league and what they were doing to Kaepernick. And if he was negotiating for an entire year and he had conversations with Cap before and never told them that this might be happening. Like, I'm not saying he needed to bring him aboard like some people.
Well, Jay-Z said he should have been sitting right next to him about this.
Well, I know he's saying he isn't. I'm just saying if that was true and he never even discussed it with him, Kaepernick's girlfriend came out and said it wasn't true. So I'm just saying if this negotiated for an entire year and he never mentioned to Colin Kaepernick that he was forming this, then I could see where that would be a problem.
See, it's funny you bring up his girlfriend.
Given how supportive he was.
I think Jay-Z recognized what a lot of people did, and you guys have mentioned this as well. Cap should not be the spokesperson for this anymore. He never did a great job with it. He was kneeling, which is fine. But when it came time to talking about it publicly, he never wanted to be the face of it.
See,
I think Jay-Z recognized that you know, Cap started it, but he's no longer the guy that should be the face of it if we're going to move forward and have action items on this list.
And I also feel that Jay-Z, I'm glad Ice Cube did that, because that was the other guy that I thought could carry this kind of weight, that could get the respect and the NFL could have tapped into. He would have been my second choice. And Jay-Z's going to need other guys like Ice Cube, like Dr. Dre, standing up for him and saying, I mean, what else do you want? Right? You're not going to get with.
Yeah.
So
now what are we going to do?
Yeah, so you're just going to keep bitching and complaining about you're not going to be happy to what?
Do you want Kaepernick to own the league?
You want him to own the NFL? You want him to be the
commissioner? $50 million a year, Mike Freeman says, for 5 years.
Can you imagine a league just sitting and saying, you know, we're going to give you $50 million for 5 years. Each year we'll give you $50 million. Do what you want.
Yeah.
Whatever
you've been
you
so
do
wronged. You've been so punished. We punish you. Oh, you have a Nike ad. You have a whole big Nike contract. You just settled a lawsuit. We knew you weren't even going to win, but we were just sick of it, so we paid you off. You also claim that you made like almost $40 million on this lawsuit. You didn't. It was like six. So don't act like you're like suffering. Stop.
What? And the big question about this.
Hi, Tyler.
Tyler, over there.
The big question about this is, where's that money coming from? Well, Mike Freeman says it would only cost owners $1.5 million a year. Why would an owner want to give Colin Kaepernick money to do anything?
So they already gave him money.
They've given the league money. They already have a whole fund that each owner has designated funds to go to those causes. They did this earlier in the year when this first happened. They struck quickly. They're handling it. It doesn't matter. Colin Kaepernick, he ain't going away. Even though he is,
I asked Wiggy that question yesterday because I mean, still to this day, you know, like you'll look and you joked about it. You know, the Eagles lost both backup quarterbacks. When do we stop talking about why isn't Kaepernick a backup in this
league?
Should
be now. It's 3 years. 3 years. What other quarterback do we say he sat out 3 years, come back and play football?
Wiggy thinks he can still play. Well, Wiggy even admitted that.
Wiggy thinks Sean Mayo's a coach in 2 years.
When he stopped playing, he played in some league called the UFL. Nobody even knew it existed.
Never heard of it.
Because he wanted to prove he could play in the league again. He wanted to get another job. Where's this guy been? Call up a team in Canada.
Working out on videos for NESA, I guess.
Team in AAF. You don't think they would have liked you on a roster to maybe get some, put you on TV?
Well, what was
the ratings would have been if you were in that league? Like, why aren't you trying to play? Oh, it's beneath you. Okay, well, then you don't want to play that badly. Because if you did, there's opportunities to go and show your skills still. But it's a lot easier to have to go out and prove it. You know, I mean, to actually sit back and just take all of this in as opposed to going out and proving that you deserve to play in the league again.
Meanwhile, this is the end of a long-tenured story career for a local guy. Mike Lynch, after 37 years of stepping down as the lead sports anchor at Channel 5. You guys both played in this town. I'm sure you had dealings with Lynch. He's considered the gentleman of the group. Sorry, ooh, Dino. Mike Lynch considered the gentleman.
Well, when you're with Dino and Bob Lobel. But that was like their own little Rat Pack, right?
Grew up watching all three of those guys. We were a Lynch household specifically because lived in Central Mass, and the football team that I went to high school for upset Brockton a couple times. And they would show it. Like they would be there with cameras, and they'd show it. And then the Thanksgiving, they do this high five show, Lou, as you know, where they'd show highlights from every game across the state on Thanksgiving. And it's a little Central Mass town. You never get any credit except for when Lynch did that. And he was the local guy of those guys. He had the high five on Fridays where he'd highlight a local athlete. He of LaBelle and Dino at that time, he was more local. And I loved him being from a small town in Central Mass for that. And he's going to 37 years walking away on his own. His decision. He's going to do some emeritus stuff for Channel 5, like the high five Thanksgiving. But he is walking away after 37 years. And rare in our business, he walks away without being pushed. It's his decision, decided it was time to go. So congratulations to Mike Lynch on a very storied career.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. He put out a nice little video, too. I saw on Twitter, you know, like turning out the lights one last time. And it was congratulations. Like you said, you know, it is rare not to get pushed, right? So he did it the right way.
We got to go. Glenn back on Monday with you guys. You got Gillette for
we got Bill. Yeah, the great awkward moment. That is
Monday with Bill OMF after the Patriots on Saturday. We'll see you.
It's over. We suck.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.